See if that's what you mean.
And we're on. Welcome to pre-show.
Hey.
So you might want to get in a little bit closer to the mic.
Okay.
Oh, wait. There, now try.
Okay. There, hey. We hear him. All right. So we have Greg and Alex from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. The land of the long white beer. Here.
Alex is just sort of sitting off mic. Doesn't necessarily want to be a part of the show, which is too bad because we enjoy your company.
She'll have a few beers and perk up. Don't you worry. It always happens.
But so you're here. You finally got yourself out to Pittsburgh.
We did. Yeah. And it's good to be here. It's a great
It's good
city.
To have you. So what do you think so far?
I think I'm very, very happy. I think you guys have shown us some amazing places in town. I think the Church Brew Works blew my mind.
That's good.
Good to finally see East End too, you know. Mm-hmm. The famous Scott hangs out and works his craft.
Right. You know, I was thinking, you know, like, when we were planning this, you know, before last night, that, you know, you wasting an evening here in my basement wasn't the best way to spend a night, you know, one of your two nights in Pittsburgh. But you've been drinking beers every night for several weeks now. So I think maybe a more slower paced and cheaper evening is the way to do it. So then we were talking about last night. It seemed like a great idea to have you guys come up here. So.
Oh, yeah. We've already supported the local economy today, don't you? It's good.
But, saying you met Hart over at Piper's.
Oh, yeah. Cool guy. Really cool guy. Showed us the cellar. You know, really, really enjoyed that. I mean, we've seen, toured around England a lot and seen a lot of craft, you know, cask ale cellars down there. That's as good as anything in the UK. You guys should, everyone locally should be aware of what you've got in there.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And they also sponsor during Beer Week, starting next week. I'm trying to remember. I think it's the closing Saturday of Beer Week. They do a cask ale festival. Mm. And it's one of the only cask ale festivals in the country. There's not very many. Greg went last year. I visited because of Allison Soccer. Other than, you know, some crowding issues, it was pretty good, though.
It was great, yeah. The crowding, they picked the wrong venue for it. It was way too crowded. But, I don't think it was... It was also a lot of people who were just there to sort of drink beer as opposed to, you know, more people there to get drunk than people there to really appreciate the beer. But the beer that was there was very, very good. Good stuff.
He's got that advertised for May 3rd, and we saw that on the bar when we were there, yeah.
So. Very cool. So I don't know, like, I think we want to talk about Greg's background a little bit and stuff during the main show. You know, especially with bureaucracy and whatnot. So, you know, we'll say you can do some of that on the main show. I don't want to get too much into... I really want to put out a show that is the Craft Beer Week preview show. So I'd like to stay pretty tight on topic for that.
Okay.
But, I mean, we can introduce Greg and talk about that briefly. But I really don't want to get into... You know, we can do that in the post show or something like that, right? Or maybe now. But, I mean,
so
talk through what we
now's
want to
a good time to talk about... first of all, this is not the first time you've been to the U.S. because you've been here for work before.
Yeah, but I've never been this far east.
Okay.
So this is good.
So why don't you tell us all about your trip so far and where you've been and where you're going.
Okay, so we flew into San Francisco and, I've been there a few times as well. But every time I go, there's just more and more places popping up with great beer. This time it was McKellar. We found the McKellar Bar there just off Union Square. Mm-hmm. Wow, just the beers there, the staff are incredibly friendly. They had a whole lot of stuff in the cellar that they pulled out just for us. And
is it the same McKellar? The same?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you can answer better, but it's my understanding that, that's the McKellar that does the
Spontan Frambos was the one.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember where they're from, though.
So am I, and I was going to say
it Denmark?
Region, Netherlands? That'd be wrong,
Is it the Netherlands?
I thought it was Denmark, but...
It might be Denmark, yeah.
I know it's not the Netherlands, if that helps.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer, but I know that you're wrong.
Exactly. I know I'm wrong, too, if that helps.
And then they have... So they have this... It's just a pub, right?
But and it's stylish. You know, everything's brushed steel and stone bars and, you know, just the sexiest bar you've ever been in your life. They've only been open for about 6 months, I think. But the staff know everything there is to know about the beers that they have.
That's cool.
You can say, you know, what was the OG on this when it was brewed, and they'll tell you.
Now, is it a Tide House? Is it all McKellar beers, or is it
No, not at all. It's yeah, it's just they specialize in McKellar beers and a lot of European stuff.
Okay.
They've also got a cellar with you know, some wild sours, American sours. First Logsdon beer that I tried was there, and that was really, really good. But yeah, that was we didn't intend to really go there. We just rocked in and ran into a whole lot of other New Zealand brewers that were over there for the World Beer Cup, and ended up drinking with them. And some stuff got pulled out, and the afternoon went on, as they do.
Right,
you know how that goes.
A lot of great stories you have a sentence in it. Stuff got pulled out.
Yeah,
and just wanted to start the show with something off color.
Yeah.
All right, so San Francisco.
Yep.
Then on to.
Well, we headed up. We actually headed up to Berkeley while we were staying in San Francisco, just because it's a short ride on the BART, and I'd heard so much. And we, you know, we hit Jupiter there, and they sent us to Eureka, and they sent us to Triple Rock, and you know, it's just everywhere you go, the bartender sends you something else that turns out to be amazing. And it was lucky we made it back alive, to be honest. It was cool. And but after San Francisco, yeah, of course, we went on to Denver. I was that was my first time judging at the World Beer Cup, and so that was nerve wracking.
Very nice.
You were saying that you were judging the barrel aged category for the first two rounds.
I got two rounds of barrel aged sours, and that was really cool. I mean, because you have no idea what's being put in front of you, and you're really looking for problems, and you're thinking some of these beers that are coming through, you're like, there's nothing wrong with this. How am I going to throw out five of these so that three of them can go forward? You know, they're just they're so good. But you're judging with some of the best people in the world, and they take you under their wing and look after you, and very quickly you get into the pattern, and soon you're going, oh no, this is, you know, nothing's good enough.
So what kind of things do you pick out?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, it's the same thing you guys are looking for when you do the show. You're looking for faults, first and foremost. You're looking for a problematic beer, and those are beers that are left behind. After that, you're just looking for beers that don't quite fit the style. Something went very quiet there.
The computer just turned it up, put to sleep. It woke back up when we started recording.
So. Right, okay. No disasters. Yeah, so then you're looking for, you know, things are off style and, you know, can't really go forward because, you know, it's all about brewing to style. You can, and we did, have some of the best beers I've ever tasted come in front of us that just couldn't progress to another round because they weren't in style. And the styles are very specific.
Right.
One of the coolest things is they give you an opportunity with each style to fill in a what they call a green sheet, which is criticisms or adjustments to style for next time. And BJCP styles tend to evolve quite slowly, and it's decided by a committee. And that's cool. That's, you know, that's one way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the World Beer Cup styles, which they also use for the GABF, evolve every competition. You know, the judges will fill in a form, and within 6 months there'll be another revision out, which will take those criticisms into context. And I mean, you're dealing with things like the Belgian sour category, Belgian Old Bruin and Flanders Red. You've got the brewer from Rodenbach there, and he's saying, oh no, actually you'll find this is more traditional. And, you know, because he is who he is, everyone, yep, absolutely.
Right.
But it's also tempered with, you know, American judges who are doing that style over here. And, you know, that was one of the cool things for me, realizing just how much the US, you know, how much of a part the USA has to play in developing those styles. You guys are pushing the boundary here. Rodenbach is maintaining the style and, you know, the historical, here's the template. And you guys are pushing that up to where it can go and what it can do. So any evolution in that style is really down to USA brewers, and that's something that's very cool.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely we can say that's where the U.S. beer culture is right now, is that it's very experimental and it's going in a lot of different directions. And they're always trying to find the next big thing. I think that we sort of decided at the JBF that the next big thing is Kolsch's, right? Wasn't that sort of...
I don't know. And maybe that's wishful thinking, right?
We've seen a few of them around.
Well, I saw at the World Beer Cup results, all three medal winners were American beers. Yeah. Like, there was no German Kolsch's. And Nicole Emery tweeted that she doesn't know if she should be excited or scared.
We had some Germans sitting beside us, behind us, and a few of those categories were announced where the USA just took out you know, what should be traditionally mm-hmm. German categories. And they're like, oh, scheiße! They're not very happy Germans.
No, I can imagine.
But no, we've had some fantastic cultures here. And yeah, so again, and very, you know, this is, I was just saying you guys are pushing the boundaries, but you also do traditional mm-hmm. right down the middle. You know, where we went yesterday, Penn Brewery. Wow. I mean, how much did they nail those beers?
Yeah.
Those clean, well brewed German style beers. They just kicked ass. It's fantastic.
Cool.
They've been doing that. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because there's the more popular Hofbrau House over by down by the waterfront, which, you know, mm-hmm. is the Hofbrau chain, and their stuff is not as good as Penn's stuff in right. general. Right. There's one or two that they can. Their Martin's better.
It's like a block from where we're staying. Alex was saying, oh, we could go there. I feel like a pretzel. I'm like, no, just let's not. I mean, I'm sure it's great, right? I'm sure it's fine, but...
It's fine, yeah.
I mean, it's fine, yeah.
I mean, if I go, I just drink the bites in there. I mean, the other beers are not really all that great. And, excuse me. Yeah, the pretzels are good. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can always do a shot ski.
Shot ski?
They have a ski with like... 5 or 6 or 7 shot glasses lined up, so you get all your friends in a row and you all do a shot simultaneously because they're all, you know, glued to the ski.
See, I thought it was something like Polish when I heard shot ski. Like,
yeah.
No, it's a shot mounted shot to a ski. Like 7 of them.
It's responsible drinking.
Yeah.
Well, that's the funniest thing, you know. They won't sell... They sell boots in their gift shop. They will not sell you a boot of beer on premise because they call it, you know, it's not responsible, right?
Yeah.
But... They'll sell you 5 liters of beer while you're there, you know, a liter at a time.
Yeah.
And they have shot skis, but they won't fill up do a boot.
See, now that's silly. I mean, I'd come here and do a boot. I mean, I'd do it just for the fun of it. Yeah. You can't do it in Germany. Well, as far as I know, we went to the original mm-hmm. opera house. I don't remember them seeing any boots around, but I'd do one.
Yeah. The boots were for take home only. It was nuts.
I seem to remember the glasses being like these pitchers.
Yeah, the glasses are a liter.
Yeah.
Literally a liter. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then they'll serve you 5 of those, but they won't serve you a boot.
What's it all a boot, eh? Oh, wait, I'm New Zealand, not Canadian. Sorry.
All right, so World Beer Cup, those are the two styles we judge. Anything that you were amazed by? Any stuff that you had there that was like, wow, this is the most amazing X that I've ever had?
So much, but I just, you know, we had a an American sour. No, was it a? Yeah, it was in the Flanders Old Brew and Flanders Red category, and it was one of the most amazing sour beers I've ever had. It was just incredible. And most of the rest of the judges on my table didn't want to send it forward because they thought it was slightly too acetic. I don't know whether it went on to, you know, we did send it forward. I managed to persuade at least the one guy who really disagreed with me. Mm-hmm. I managed to persuade him that it was worthy. And it went forward. Now, because, you know, unless you judge a final round, you don't know which beers go on to medal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You may have tasted the gold medal, Willie, you may not have. And I did note there wasn't a gold medal issued in that style. They only issued silver and bronze. But, yeah, it went on, carried on, and I heard from someone else describing, who had judged the final round, describing exactly what I thought that I'd tasted. And apparently that was the silver medal winning beer. So I'll leave it to listeners to look up which that was, because I can't actually remember at this point, but all I know it was fantastic.
Right.
Cool. I remember looking it up, actually. So yeah. That was the American White?
No, it was...
Red Flanders?
Yeah, Flanders Red and Old Bruin. So I forget we have these amazing machines that connect to the internet.
Yeah. Don't have to go to the library ever again.
I know, right?
Jeff, continue on.
Sure. So I've got a note here. This will go back to our normal pre-show type fare, cool. You know, just instead of, you know, just quizzing you about your trip.
Yeah.
So my mom got a new TV last weekend because the TV she had was getting these shadows across the screen. And it started out in the one corner and then it spread. And so I brought her TV over. That's the one sitting in front of my big TV over there. And it looked kind of like there was, I don't know, maybe cobwebs or something, even though it seemed unlikely the LCD is all enclosed. But I took the back off just to look. Yeah, there's nothing to really see inside those TVs. So I go online and look, and it's fairly common with these, you know, LCD TVs. And what you can do to try to clean it up is to massage the screen.
Really?
You take a microfiber cloth and you kind of turn the backlight down and just kind of rub the screen, and it kind of gets it, you know, gets it flowing again or something.
Does it get a happy ending?
So, I mean, I don't know. We'll have yet to see if I have a happy ending.
Pixels
in. I need to hook it up to, you know, like a white background or something, you know, put up a white screen so I can see if it helped at all. And I did notice that there's one dead pixel on the TV as well.
Oh, there's just always a dead pixel.
And but yeah, so, but it's like, I'm going over to my mom's house for Easter tomorrow. I'll have to tell them, you know. Like, yeah, just had to rub the screen. It's probably like, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, she still can probably take the old TV back.
The silver medal winner in that category was Brewery's Old Tart.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Which we've had before on show 208, so you can listen to that.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but there were three great beers in that show. There was Old Tart, Tart of Darkness, and Mischief Gone Wild.
Oh, man.
So it ranked second for me, third for you. But it was one of those shows where everything, but number one for both of us was Tart of Darkness, mm-hmm. Which I don't remember, but I'm sure it was great.
It's like a sour stout.
Yeah.
Oh, who's that? Yeah.
They're all the brewery.
Oh, they're all the brewery.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
207 and 208 were our brewery spotlights, so.
Yeah, because the reason I remember that beer is we had it what's it called? The Public House in the Venetian in Las Vegas just, you know, a couple of nights ago. Our last night there, we were just down there just killing time, basically drinking some beers. And I saw they had Old Tart on the menu, so we ordered that. And I went, I've had this before. And of course, you never know when you're judging. Yeah. In fact, they even caution you about it. They say, look, don't assume you know what this beer is ever. You know, you're probably wrong. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, this is so, I'm sure this is the one I argued for to go forward.
Yeah.
So it could well have been, yeah, who knows. It was so good, though.
And it's so weird, though, because, I mean, with brewery, especially the way they do it, they do the, what's the method they call it? The Solara method?
Well, Solara is for Solara.
Their
anniversary.
Their anniversaries. Yeah. But still, you can get differences barrel to barrel, right?
Well, no, the Solara method is.
But I'm saying for their other stuff.
Oh.
Anytime
it all depends on the process, right? They blend. It's not like a single oak barrel.
No, but
is bottled off by.
They do a lot of stuff in stainless, don't they? I mean, they still do. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, until I see the process, it's hard to really speculate, right? Because even if something's barrel aged, they're going to probably drain it all into a bright tank and blend several barrels together to package it. So,
I see they've opened a new.
Okay, well then year to year you might decide.
Yeah.
Food, sure. And the Solera, right? That's where they keep feeding, you know, the beer with new beer, so you know it's going to evolve over time because it's just a living, you know, living thing. So
yeah, they've got a new brewery in downtown LA. I was thinking maybe I could get there before we fly out, save having to try and get out to Placentia. That's for sure.
Right.
So after the World Beer Cup.
After the World Beer Cup was my day job, so yeah. So I work in IT on 4 days a week, and I had a conference in Las Vegas, so I went there, and we Alex got to hang out and drink some beers while I was doing that, and then afterwards we went and we shifted from where the conference was at the Mandalay Bay. We shifted to the Venetian, which is more in the center of the Strip, and caught the bus downtown and. Yeah, went to a couple of places there, and yeah, some really good beer going on in Las Vegas. It's and
see any good hookers?
Oh, all of them. You know, there's no bad hookers in Las Vegas. Well, not on the Strip. Yeah. they charge a bit more. I mean, so I've heard. Yeah.
Any in your elevator at the time? Like anybody going up with an obvious, like...
Oh, I don't know. There was something in our elevator. I'm not quite sure what you'd categorize as.
were you over that story, or was that when we were there in the car?
No, this is what I was telling you last night.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you heard that story.
No.
See, listeners can't see this, but I'm a pretty big guy. And this girl made me look skinny. And she came out. She was in the elevator in a bikini, and there was more outside the bikini than inside the bikini, shall we say. And I was glad I hadn't just eaten.
Sort of like an overflowing muffin top.
Yeah, I mean, I am in favor of people of size. I like people, you know, everyone's a good person. But some things you just don't want to see after you've had breakfast.
Well, the deal is that some types of clothing are better meant for other people, some people than others. I mean, frankly, yeah. I don't want to see a skinny, emaciated guy in a muumuu. You know, it's just like... Yeah. It's just not going to work.
No. Imagine doing the Marilyn Monroe thing over. Yeah, I don't want to ever see that.
No, I'm just picturing Greg seeing the skinny guy in a muumuu and having this like revulsion. Yeah.
Oh, why?
Maybe you see Matthew McConaughey and you're like, put your damn shirt back on.
Oh, speaking of which, True Detective.
That was great.
Who ended up watching that?
I loved it.
Oh, yeah. That was some good stuff. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, McConaughey, he turns out dude can act.
I know. I didn't even recognize the guy when he first came on, right?
Have you seen Dallas Buyers Club yet?
No.
I haven't seen it. I have it on my list of things to watch.
Didn't he got an Oscar for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it's... he was, I guess he got skinny for Dallas Buyers Club, and then you know, that just kind of parlayed into, you know, True Detective. But I've heard it's really good, so. No, I guess the Academy thinks it's good too, right? So.
You never know whether you can trust the Academy about those things or not.
No, I mean, you know, what would they know? A bunch of actors.
Well, the thing is, like, it's very sort of culturally bound. I mean, some stuff.
Please.
There you go. Jeff needs.
Thank you.
One of those? Dying here in the corner.
Sometimes the right thing. You know, it depends on the category. Your special effects and stuff like that. I think those, you know, those categories are generally, you know, they recognize the stuff that's, you know, ahead of its time and, you know, it's really there. The acting kind of, it's sometimes it's right. Sometimes they sort of reward actors for being in lots of other movies.
Yeah.
And
it's your turn, kind
of. Yeah, and the same thing goes with Best Picture. Sometimes they reward directors for past movies with a movie.
Yeah.
I think that Best Director generally is pretty on point generally, but not always. Best Writing is usually on point. The writing category is usually the one that I think is the most on point of the major. Of the non-technical stuff.
Who got those this year? I didn't even follow it.
Let's see. Wow.
I'm testing you now. You could look it up, but you've got
to... Yeah, no, I should know this. Did 12 Years a Slave win Best Picture?
Now that I haven't seen that.
And I think that might have won. And then, or maybe it was American Hustle. No, not...
Yeah, let me call it up.
The Best Director was Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity.
Oh, okay.
But Gravity, but that was the right call. It was not Best Picture, but it was the right move for Best Director. It was you know, really well directed film, not a great film by any stretch of the imagination.
I still haven't seen it, so I have no idea.
But a great movie, if you want to put that way. So you know, fun experience. McConaughey won, obviously, like we said. I can't remember any of the other ones. it's all a blur. I wasn't really paying much attention during the whole Oscar stuff.
I didn't even watch it, so, you know, I just thought, you, knowing you being the movie geek you are, you'd be able to rattle it off.
I'm not that much of a movie geek. I mean, I think back to when I was, you know, first disenchanted with the Academy was when Forrest Gump won over... Pulp Fiction.
Channel flipping today, and yeah. Forrest Gump was on, and I kind of was like, Oh, I almost want to watch this again. I haven't seen it for a long time. It is actually quite a good movie.
You think so?
I do. I think it's clever.
Oh, no. It's saccharine.
It's, you know...
It's so saccharine.
Yeah. But I'm a sucker for Tom Hanks. I think he does a really good job of anything
he's in. I really dislike
him. You hate him?
I don't think Tom Hanks is a very good actor.
Okay.
I mean, I like the guy. The guy's a great guy.
He riffs on a theme, right? He has these things he can do, and one thing he can do is pathos. He always plays to human emotion, and he always makes you cry, and you know. And I don't know. I enjoy that. I like those sort of movies. I know I'm being manipulated. I know I'm being targeted, but I enjoy it anyway. You know, it's good.
But, I'm trying to think of a good Tom Hanks performance where it wasn't just all just kind of acty all over it. Yeah. You know, and
look how important this is.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Big.
Yeah. Well,
do you know I've never seen Big?
Never seen
Big? No.
Alex is disagreeing, I think.
You might have seen it. Have you seen it? You can say something, you know. It's okay. Say hi, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
I don't have all the argument. I don't have that cue in my head, but I had that argument with other people, like my friend Damien. I've had that argument about Tom Hanks before. I guess, you know, he was apparently really good in Captain Phillips.
Oh, now Alex watched that on the way over, and she thought it was rubbish. But I don't know whether
it was cheesy.
I'm going to watch it on the way home.
I was bored by it. I have to admit. I didn't actually know the story before watching the movie. I knew there'd been an incident, but I knew the Americans had come up on top. So you kind of know.
Americans always win, is what.
Yeah, you know the end of the story before it started.
But is that picking her up, Jeff? I mean,
we can hear her.
Be,
so yeah.
I was going to say it might be very, very quiet for listeners.
No, that's okay. Cool. No, whenever you want to talk, go ahead. But yeah, so everyone told me like the last scene with Tom Hanks is amazing. He really is great in that. And I watched it, and it's like he plays shocked and surprised well.
Philadelphia was a really good movie.
Oh yeah, now that was good.
I've never seen it.
You never seen? Okay,
I've never seen Philadelphia. Yeah.
But again, it's pathos. You're sitting there going, "Oh, my heart goes out to the poor guy." Right. You know, it's designed to get you to react emotionally. I mean, I suppose everything is right, but yeah, I think he does that fairly well. I'd never defend him. I'd defend my preference. I'd say, look, I enjoy watching his movies, but I would never stand up and argue that he's a great actor. I just don't have the background or the knowledge to do that. It's not my field. You know?
Let's see. Yeah,
I'm just looking through the filmography here. I mean, he did even Saving Private Ryan, right?
Right.
That was a good war movie.
That was a showy Tom Hanks role.
Yeah.
Road to Perdition.
Again.
Oh, I never saw that. That was the 30s gangster thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was based on a comic book.
Right, okay.
That was like it was big because Tom Hanks was playing a guy who wasn't necessarily the best guy ever.
Right.
Yeah, that's Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh man,
Turner and Hooch, The Burbs. Remember the Burbs?
Oh, The Burbs.
Well, that was sitcom era Tom Hanks. Right? Yeah. That was when he was doing Bosom Buddies.
Wow, that's going back.
This is my life.
Oh, that's a great song, by the way. Yeah. Oh, God, I just liked a Billy Joel song. Kill me.
He was on Happy Days in 1982.
Was he?
Yep, he was on Taxi.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, before he got a part, he was, you know.
Taxi.
He was on The Love Boat.
I think everybody was on The Love Boat, though, weren't they?
But he wasn't Tom Hanks. He wasn't Tom Hanks. Hanks was on The Love Boat.
Yeah. Right.
Alex and I went back and watched every Taxi episode ever recently, just because... You know, childhood memories, etc., and really, really enjoyed it. But I don't remember Tom Hanks showing up. It's the sort of thing I think I'd notice, but yeah, it must have been a very small bit part or something.
I didn't know there were so many like Toy Story shorts that he was in. Party Source Rex, Toy Story of Terror.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sure Story that Time Forgot.
Well, that's, you know, you hear Tom come in for 2 hours and do you know, do some lines, and then talking to the microphone. And
we live in the age of DVD extras and YouTube content, and yeah, you got to have 50 of those.
Okay, so you were in Vegas, and
I got sidetracked. Well, then I was here.
And then you came here.
So, yeah.
So after, this is your last day, your last night here.
This is my last night here, yeah. We fly out tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
And we go to Chicago for a few days, which is, not to crap all over Pittsburgh, but Chicago is pretty much my favorite U.S. city. If I was going to move to the States, I'd live in Chicago, so... Of what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there's millions more places I haven't been that are great too.
Right. But,
so I've got a couple of friends there we're going to go and catch up with. And one's quite strange, actually. He's a White Sox baseball fiend. He's a massive White Sox fan. I kind of like the Cubs, you know. Not that they ever win, but... And,
it's a beautiful park.
Yeah, and at Wrigley Field. And we do want to go to a game there. I don't know whether we'll get time, but I'd love to. But we ran into this guy this night, this guy called Steve, and we started talking to him, and we found out that not only was he did he know everything there is to know about baseball, so he schooled me, but he knows half of the New Zealand Brewers I know back home. So I was just like, I cannot believe the world is that small. You know, it's just really bizarre.
Asking about Chinese brewers.
I might do.
Not so much for polymath now, are you?
Hey, I was drinking with a Chinese brewer the other day. Where was he from? Boxing
Oregon.
Cat. Yeah, he was born in Oregon.
Okay.
And he brews for Boxing Cat Brewery in China. And he was over. He's a friend of the guy, the pilot that we call the beer mule, because he's always flying around different places, so he's always bringing back crazy beers from wherever to try.
Okay.
Yeah, we were drinking with him in San Francisco. He got very, very trashed. But that's a whole other story.
Now, speaking of crazy beers to try, you did bring us some beers.
Oh, yeah.
You want to describe the beers? I mean, we're not going to have them tonight because we're going to do our Pittsburgh Craft Beer Week preview.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've had them anyway already.
Yeah, I have. All right, so I'll have to refer to my phone. I've actually got some notes typed up ready to email you, but I haven't sent them yet, so... Hang on a sec while I pull out my magic device.
Excuse me.
That's not a euphemism. Yeah, excuse me while I kiss this guy. Where are we? Oh, here we go. Beer notes for Jeff and Greg. Okay, so I've got Two Fingers Joan of Arc Smoked Pilsner. So that's it's a guy I know who's a friend of mine back home, and he's a very creative guy. Lived in Germany for a long time and just fell in love with German beers, and he wanted to bring that back to New Zealand. But he's ended up doing quite odd takes on it. So he's done a very traditional Pilsner with Rauch malt, or smoked malt.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed that beer. I thought it would be horrible.
Right.
He said, I'd love to know what you think. And I went and tried a bottle, and I went, I actually really like that. That's cool.
I've had a few smoked Pilsners, and I tend to actually like them more than you might expect.
See, I'd never had one. I didn't even know that
it doesn't sound like a good style. Right?
No, it sounds like something you wouldn't like, but no, it was something that really impressed me, so I thought I'd share something a bit strange with you guys. Another one is Parrot Dog Otis. Now, Parrot Dog's a not completely new brewery on the scene in Wellington. They were a bunch of home brewers who got together. The funny thing about them is they're all called Matt. There's four of them, and they're all called Matt. And they,
how do they tell each other apart?
I don't know. In fact, I struggle. Sometimes if they're listening, sorry.
I mean, who gets to be Matt 1 is my question.
Like, I don't know.
Is there a fight? You know. No, I want to be Matt 1.
They trade. They rotate it out.
That's got to be even more confusing.
Yeah. But they make some pretty cool beer. They were very popular in Wellington, which is kind of Wellington is New Zealand's craft beer capital kind of thing. Wellington is New Zealand's Portland, if you like. And they've got all sorts of... they're famous for a beer called Bitter Bitch, which is their really extremely hoppy pale ale. And lives up to its name. It is very bitter, but it also has a beautiful New Zealand hop aromatic character going on. That's pretty good, but I figured you guys have got hops up the wazoo over here, so I'd bring you something different. So I bought you their oatmeal stout, which is called Otis. And it's silky smooth. It's just a really nice example of an oatmeal stout. I really enjoy that. I also bought, now Yeasty Boys, I found out after I was here, this beer is actually distributed here, but as Jeff pointed out yesterday, probably not in Pennsylvania, and maybe certainly not in Pittsburgh. It's called Gunna Matter, and it's named after an Australian song by Paul Kelly. I don't know why a New Zealand brewer is naming a beer after an Australian song. It's just one of those things. Gunna Matter is a beach, and it's a beer, it's a pale ale, sort of an IPA type pale ale, brewed with Earl Grey tea.
Okay.
And that, yeah, I thought you guys might enjoy that. It's one of Alex's favourite beers, so I thought we'd bring that to share with you. Three Boys Oyster Stout, which is, I found out recently that New Zealand was the first country in the world to brew oyster stout, as in with actual oysters. Oyster stout existed as a style previously, but I believe it was because it accompanied oysters so well, so they called it oyster stout. It was out of London.
Okay.
And I think New Zealand was the first place in the world to brew, actually use oysters in the process. I have no idea whether that's true or completely apocryphal.
But I'm going, I haven't heard that before.
No,
I haven't even heard that part of the story where I thought oyster stouts always used oyster shells, you know.
Oh yeah, no, this uses the shell, the bivalve, the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, it all goes in. Ralph, the brewer, he's actually the head of the Brewers Guild in New Zealand, and he does some really cool creative stuff. Three Boys generally make very solid beers, and this is one of our favourites. The only thing that annoys me is that I had to get last year's. This year's wasn't quite on the shelf when I left to come here, though it will be now.
Right.
So I bought one and tasted it to make sure it was okay. It's getting a little savoury, a little umami going on, but it's still pretty good.
Cool.
What else did I bring you? Yakima Scarlet from Liberty. So this is Joseph Wood. Now, I think, as I told you guys, I have a little brewery back home called Bureaucracy. Joseph was the guy that got us off the ground, basically. He said, love your beer, come brew it on mine and we'll release it commercially. And we'd been thinking about going commercial, but we never really got around to it.
Right.
Joe gave us the kick in the ass we needed to do it, and brewed the beer, and we put it out. He makes very US-influenced beer, so I wanted to bring you guys an example of what we're doing back home that copies what you guys are doing here. It's a hoppy red ale. I think it's about 7%. It's a really good beer when it's on form.
Okay.
He's changed breweries recently. I haven't had one of this new batch, so I'm not sure exactly what it's like, but hopefully it'll be good. And of course, as I say, they've been stuck in my suitcase for the last 2 weeks rattling around the States. Thank you, everyone. And the last two are from me. So I've got you Smoko from Bureaucracy, which is a Rauch beer, very traditional Bamberg Rauch beer. And In Triplicate, which is our Belgian triple. I like mine low on the phenolics, more like a Belgian golden strong.
Okay.
Than a triple, but it's sort of in the style guidelines for a triple, so that's what we called it.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Look forward to trying those.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy.
Jeff, I noticed you tweeted out that you were selling some of your hop shoots, or not selling, giving away.
Yeah.
Because you have, I guess, a whole bunch of them?
Yeah, they just grow like nuts, right? And I gave some away probably 3 or 4 years ago. Gave away probably close to 100 rhizomes last time. Wow. I probably give away another 100 easy this time. And yeah, I mean, like, I haven't looked too closely. They're actually, it's a late start this year because of the spring we've had. So they're just starting to poke up right now. And, but yeah, you can just tell, like, there's runners running off all over the hop bed, you know, and you could chop a piece like this into, like, 5 rhizomes, you know. So
have you set up your truss yet?
No, because, like I said, they're just, it doesn't make sense to do that until they're almost a foot tall or something like that. So, yeah, I'll run the strings once they start growing more.
What varieties are they?
It's all Cascade.
Oh, it's all Cascade. Cool.
Yeah. I did have, well, no, I lie. There's one Fuggles plant, but it's never fruited. It doesn't do very well. I keep saying I'm going to dig it out, and I've never dug it out, but
it might come back, right?
No, it's never. It's been 5 years now. It's never. I've gotten like 6 cones off the damn thing. So.
Yeah,
Fuggles doesn't like it here, but that Cascade, man. I started off with one plant, broke it into 3. Now it's 9 plants, and then I gave away all those rhizomes. When I split it up to 9 plants, that's when I gave away all those rhizomes. So,
you brew with them?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I got...
Well, in the last 2 years, you've been just
last, hops this away. Past harvest, I gave them all away because I just have too much. I got a freezer full of hops from previous years, so... Mm. But, you know, anytime I do an American Pale Ale or something like that, I'll typically use those. And if I really don't care, you know, about nailing bitterness or anything like that, I'll use them for the, you know, for the whole thing.
Oh, wow, cool.
Right? But, yeah, I just I don't know what the alpha is on them, right? Yeah.
What you should do is next time we do the picking, you should brew a beer around that time, then we could fresh hop it.
Yeah. That takes more coordination, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to smuggle some back to New Zealand, but I think customs would shoot me.
Probably.
Even a vacuum sealed bag, you think that would be a problem?
Oh, New Zealand's just weird. You can't get anything live back in there, like fruit, vegetables, anything like that. It'll just try and kill you if you try and take them in.
We can probably FedEx you something.
Oh, man. Yeah, we shouldn't talk about that on the air.
You wouldn't want to give them any kind of, you know, with our luck, the Emerald Ash Borer would be on there, right?
What?
The Emerald Ash Borer, the bug that killed all the ash trees in the eastern United States.
Oh.
You don't know about that?
No.
Horrible infestation.
Dude, even I know about that.
Like, all the ash trees are dead. Like, all of them.
I know that, yeah, the ash trees died because, and that's why they don't use ash trees for baseball bats anymore. Because, and that's why you get, now they use, I think, maple, and that's why you see more bats breaking, because they don't have the same tree.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
It was the Emerald Ash Borer. Did that. Like, where I vacationed on Kelly's Island over, it's in Lake Erie over in off of Ohio. And, you know, since it was an island, the bug didn't get there right away, but people were smuggling firewood onto the island even when you weren't supposed to, and that brought the bug on. And you just drive around, there's just stands of dead trees, you know, all over the place. The campsite, it was before the first time we camped there, but, like, the first time we camped there, our campsite didn't have any big trees on it. You know, it was just a couple small saplings, and there was a bunch of big ruts in the ground where you could see they just ground out, you know, some big old trees. Mm. And if you go to, you know, Google satellite view, you could see that the campsite used to have big, lush trees over it, right? And they were all ash trees that, you know, got killed by the bugs. So.
Oh, man.
What happened to your voice, Jeff?
I'm a little bit sick right now, I think. So.
Oh. That's always good to hear.
I don't know.
The plague is coming.
Yeah, I woke up yesterday with a little bit of a cough, and I don't know. We'll see how my voice will hold up.
Yeah, so you notice that his voice is a little bit breaky, but
hopefully that's why I'm letting you do most of the talking.
I just want to make it clear, so, you know, want to get that elephant noticed. So I was like, why is Jeff coughing and breaking his voice all the time?
I hope it's not the World Beer Cup judge bug. Everyone seemed to get that except me, so I could be a carrier.
Oh. Well, I'm fine so far. So. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I usually take like 3 or 4 days to come out.
Oh, well, okay. Good to know.
Yeah. If you're sick in a few days, that's my fault. Sorry.
I just hope I don't get you guys sick, since you got several more stops in North America before you head home.
Oh, we'll be fine. We're going to San Diego and Portland. I mean, the hops will kill anything that might survive.
Good point.
So should we get on to the show proper?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right.